You're listening to the River East Church Podcast, a Jesus community for the world.
When I think of the eagle, I think of a bird who soars high in the sky, a bird of speed and power, a bird of prey, a symbol used by countries who want to show their dominance. The First Nations invite us to see the eagle in a different light, to represent the sacred teaching of love. They chose not the dove, but the eagle. The Southern First Nations of Manitoba describe the eagle this way: love is a gift from the eagle. Love is a force that is undeniable. It is everyone's right to have it and experience it. And in terms of the medicine wheel, love is the hub. The value of love at the hub of all the other six grandfather teachings, that idea resonates with the Christian understanding of love. Paul says, "Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things, and the greatest of these is love." And I used to have a spiritual director who, whenever he spoke about God, he would always say, "God, whose other name is love." In the grandfather teachings, the eagle's ability to see deepens our understanding of love. They say the eagle flies highest and closest to the Creator, and also has the sight to see all the ways of being from great distances. So now, let's consider the eagle's eye. It's about the same size and weight as a human eye, but think about it. An eagle weighs about 10 pounds, and an average human weighs a lot more than 10 pounds. Using the body-eye ratio, imagine how much you could see if your eyes were about 15 times bigger than the ones you have. What we can see from 5 feet, an eagle can already see from 20 feet away. And that means that an eagle in flight can see a rabbit from more than 3 kilometers. Not only do eagles see farther, the colors they see are also more vivid. Humans have trichromatic vision. We distinguish reds, greens, and blues. Eagles possess cone receptors to see with four-color vision. They see the 3 colors that humans see, plus color on the ultraviolet spectrum. Eagles can see an absolutely beautiful world in colors that we can't even conceive of. Today, this second Sunday after Easter, we consider how the eagle and the risen Christ both offer the gift of seeing. In Luke, in the story that Mary beautifully performed for us, this is the very first glimpse that we get of the risen Christ. And it is with 2 disciples who don't recognize him. 2 disciples who don't see. And Jesus joins them walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as disciples, because that's what they're called, that means they were part of that crowd that was following Jesus. It was a growing crowd. And they heard his parables. They shouted as he rode in on a donkey. They were present, most likely, as he broke the Passover bread and gave it to them. What prevents them from seeing the risen Christ? And for that matter, what prevents us from seeing the risen Christ? And more importantly, what does Jesus do when we don't recognize him? What prevents disciples from recognizing the risen Christ? One option could be that the experience of death and resurrection dramatically changed Jesus' body. Perhaps. Today, some ask that same question a little differently. Was resurrection a historical, physical, and scientific event? Or was it more of a spiritual event? And whether this question is lodged back in history or it's our question right now, this story shows how the risen Christ responds. The risen Christ appears to these disciples as someone they can relate to, someone who is the same as them. The disciples recognize that the stranger was a visitor to Jerusalem, just like they had been. And at the same time, they're also struck by how unlike him, how unlike them he is. Jesus is oblivious to the things that they care about. Diego Velázquez was the leading artist of the Spanish Golden Age. And in this painting of Jesus at Emmaus, Velázquez captures this simultaneous sense of difference and similarity. Painting Jesus into his Spanish context, he pictures Jesus' body as different than an ordinary human body. The hand and faces of the other disciples reflect the light that literally shines out from Jesus. And at the same time, Velázquez pictures Jesus' body as one whose injuries cause scars, the same as any other human. And if you look closely, you can see the nail print on Jesus' hand. This similarity and difference is one clue for recognizing the risen Christ today. This week, I answered a knock at my door, and it was a cheerful, smartly dressed 20-year-old, and I know he was 20 because he told me so. And he was campaigning in support of a candidate for tomorrow's election. The young man and I were alike in some ways, both white, both middle class. But this year, more strongly than any other year, it was our differences that I experienced intensely. I did not accept the literature from the party that he supported. And then, as I was closing the door, I caught myself. The risen Christ comes to us in a form that is both similar and different to who we are. If something in my encounter with this young man could lead to an increase in love, then we both might see the risen Christ. And so I made space for a brief, pleasant, and hopefully loving chat. What prevents disciples from recognizing the risen Christ? A second option might be sadness. Sadness, despair, these often make us turn inward. And whether the grief is lodged way back then in history or is something that we are experiencing right now, Luke's story shows how the risen Christ responds. The risen Christ appears as someone who listens. At River East Church, we're in preparation to welcome 10 people into church membership on Pentecost Sunday and the week after. And our process includes a listening group, an opportunity to share what makes you the person you are, what has shaped the faith that you have. And I've adapted this listening group experience from the practice of group spiritual direction. In other words, the process is designed to foster deep and compassionate listening. And after someone has shared their story, each listener responds not once, but twice, to hold up a mirror and reflect back what we have heard. And in the listening group, one of them that happened this week, one listener put it very beautifully. This is a sacred experience. We recognize the risen Christ when we listen and when we are listened to with deep compassion. What prevents disciples from recognizing the risen Christ? A third option might be an inadequate story of God. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples hoped that through Jesus, God would redeem Israel from Roman oppression. That hope was guided by the story of God redeeming Israel from slavery through Moses. The Exodus story is a good story. It is a powerful story of what God has done. It's a powerful story of God at work. But their interpretation of it was not an adequate story to help them see God in the situation where they found themselves. Their story didn't have space for Jesus' suffering, and it certainly didn't have space for his death. When our stories of God aren't big enough to hold our lived experience, the risen Christ appears with a bigger story. And Brian McLaren calls this exchange of an old story for a new one, the action of include and transcend. On the way to Emmaus, when their understanding of scripture and their current experience didn't match, and when the faith that we grew up with and our current experience don't match, the risen Christ shows up guiding us into a new story, a story that includes the old one and is much, much bigger. Love that helps us see is always bigger than we can at first imagine. Later, in the home of the disciples, Jesus takes, blesses, breaks, and gives the bread to the two disciples, just like he had at the Passover. And he says, this breaking, this is my body given for you. And this is the moment that they see and recognize and understand the bigger story, that Jesus identifies most closely not with Moses, who helped redeem Israel at the cost of the lives of the Egyptian firstborn, but that Jesus identifies more closely with the Lamb, whose body was broken and whose blood was poured out for that redemption. The risen Christ always identifies with the bigger story of love. The good news of Easter is that Christ is risen. Yes. Thank you. The sad news of Easter is that we so often don't recognize the risen Christ. And then there's even more good news. When our eyes are prevented from seeing, Christ continues to enter our lives with love, listening to us, challenging us, telling us new stories, not giving up on us until we too have eagle eyes of love. Diego Velázquez created another painting of the risen Christ at Emmaus. And with this painting, Velázquez takes his stand on the raging debate in Spain at that time. Did Spain, as a Christian country, have the right to enslave Africans? And in the painting, we see not simply a maid, but a young African woman, a Muslim Moor, who is most likely not just a maid, but a slave. She is a person marginalized at every level by her race, religion, gender, and class. And Velázquez paints her as he sees her with his eagle eyes of love. He sees a person who has eyes to recognize the risen Christ before Christ disappears. In other words, she recognizes the risen Christ before the other disciples recognize him. We know this because Christ is still in the picture, and Luke tells us Christ disappears as soon as they recognize who he is. With love, the risen Christ has already opened her eyes. And so I close with a poem by Denise Levertov. It's called The Servant Girl at Emmaus. And this poem is a meditation on this painting. She listens, listens, holding her breath. Surely that voice is his, the one who had looked at her once across the crowd as no one had ever looked, had seen her, had spoken as if to her. Surely those hands were his, taking the platter of bread from hers just now, hands he'd laid on the dying and made them well. Surely that face, the man they'd crucified for sedition and blasphemy, the man whose body disappeared from its tomb, the man it was rumored now some women had seen this morning, alive? Those who had brought this stranger home to their table don't recognize yet with whom they sit. But she, in the kitchen, absently touching the wine jug she's to take in, a young black servant intently listening, swings around and sees the light around him and is sure.
Thanks for listening to the River East Church podcast, the Jesus Community for the World. We are an Anabaptist church pursuing wisdom, prophecy, and compassion here in Winnipeg, Manitoba. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can find us online at rivereastchurch.ca. We hope you join us for next time, and until then, may grace and peace be with you. Thank you.